Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to give you some boots on the ground intel on global inflation rates. So check this out. Let's start by going to the website for Pew Research. This is pewresearch.org. And I think as Americans, I think most of the people that watch this channel are from the U.S., but there are a lot of global listeners, so I'm sure they can relate to what I'm saying. And would love to get your feedback in the comment section as well. But we tend to think in the United States that, well, inflation is really affecting the U.S. because that's what we see. But we're not really cognizant of what is happening in Europe or pretty much anywhere outside the United States. But I can tell you that when I got to Colombia, this was just a couple nights ago, as you guys know, I just came down to Medellin. I told that story yesterday on the channel here in a live stream, and I'm going to be giving you more updates as far as how the mandates are working or really not working. I made some very interesting discoveries this morning, but we'll kind of bench that for right now. So, but I spoke with Angie and Joaquin, who are my project managers. Joaquin does the architecture, like he's the GC, and Angie is my designer. They're a husband and wife team. They've been working for me since 2014. They've done every single one of my projects here in Medellin since I started investing here in 2015. I had dinner with them last night. And I mean, one of the very first things that they told me is prices are just going through the roof. Prices are skyrocketing. And they weren't just talking about the cost or the prices of real estate. They said that's gone up to staggering levels as well. But they said all of their input costs are going up as far as the material for the remodels. They're using all of the costs of furniture for the for Angie's design business. Those are going up. Rents are going up. Even they were talking about food prices are going up consistently. And usually you have a pretty high inflation here in Colombia compared to the United States. But what they're seeing now is even shocking Colombians. And so let me first go over this headline, and then I'm going to give you some actual boots on the ground data from what food prices are doing right here in Medellin, Colombia. I got this from one of my editors earlier this morning. So inflation has risen around the world. Another thing I want to point out is that's exactly what happened in the 1970s. That inflation that we hear about all the time wasn't something that was unique to the United States. That was the UK, that was Japan, that was pretty much everywhere in the world, which would make sense when you look at it through the lens of what Jeff Snyder talks about in the euro dollar system actually creating more dollars. Now, is the euro dollar system creating more dollars now? Probably not, probably fewer dollars. So are these price increases that we're seeing only a result of supply chain disruptions? Who knows? We'll have to wait and find out. But even if they are, my argument would be, well, those supply chain disruptions were created by the government creating economic distortions as a result of their response to the Cerveza sickness. So is the government going to create fewer economic distortions in the future or less or more? And my argument is probably they're going to create more. And even if they get rid of the mandates, which I think that they'll do in the United States, I had a conversation with Robert Barnes about that this morning. And he's under the impression that we will not have any no passports, nothing like that in the United States within 6 months. So that would all be great. So that's a tailwind for business, a tailwind for productivity. But is that enough to counterbalance how insane the government policies are right now, even in the areas outside of the Cerveza sickness? That's what we'll kind of have to pay attention to. But with this article, I wanted to point out, guys, that this inflation that we're seeing in the United States, again, is a global phenomenon. Great. So this is the percentage change since the third quarter of 2019 and the third quarter of 2021. So let's say their inflation rate going back to Q3 of 2019 was 5%. In the case of Brazil, it would be over 11%. because it's more than 6% higher. So the U.S. clocks in. Oh my goodness, what is this? No, this can't be right. First of all, there's no way this is right because Turkey is only at like 5.5%. That's okay. Right off the bat, I call BS because there's no way that Turkey's inflation rate, well, maybe their inflation rate was massive. Well, maybe that's it. Okay, let me back up here. Maybe it's that Turkey in 2019 had like a 15% inflation rate, and now they've got like a 20% inflation rate. So still, it's only 5% higher, but it's 5% higher than an incredibly high level to begin with. Maybe that's what we're dealing with. So we've got, again, U.S., according to this chart, is at number three. New Zealand, a country that you would not expect to have high levels of inflation, right behind the United States. Spain, another country that has had problems, according to the central planners and the central bankers, with deflation. Remember, the Eurozone, the Europeans, just like the United States, they're trying to create inflation. They thought that was their biggest problem, that they didn't have enough inflation. Well, how things have changed. And you can see all these countries. I won't list them all. Well, one I will list is Canada, because seeing what's happening to the Canadian truckers, do you think the supply of goods and services, or goods more specifically, is going to go up or down? Most likely down. Therefore, Canadians, if you're watching, you should expect your prices to go up significantly in the near future, even above and beyond what they've gone up since Q3 of 2019. So the majority of the countries on this chart are experiencing higher levels of inflation than they had back in 2019. Now, again, here's Colombia right here, and they're only saying that there's been like maybe a 1% change. There's no way, absolutely no way. Because it's not just Angie and Joaquin, it's all my editors, even my housekeeper. That's one of the first things they all said. They just said they cannot believe how much prices have gone up. And so when I left, the official CPI of Colombia was maybe 3 or 4%. So there's no way that they're saying it's just 5 or 6% right now. I do not buy that at all. So my guess is this chart may be accurate as far as the list of countries, but the level at which the CPI has increased, I would say, is a lot more than they're leading us to believe. And then you've got some countries that where the CPI is actually a little bit lower. Again, who knows how accurate this is. Argentina makes sense because they had a lot of inflation in 2019 and before. But my point is the United States is not the only country that's experiencing inflation. And this is consistent with what we saw in the 1970s. I want to be very clear. I am not implying that the reason we have consumer price inflation is the same as the 1970s. But the net result so far is the same.
Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami. And tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today.
Let's go over to, this is the 2 year and the, so the delta between the 2 year and the 10 year. As you guys know, I've been talking a lot about the yield curve flattening and how we really need to pay attention to this, because this will tell us the probability of us having a recession in the next year, year and a half, especially if that yield curve inverts. So most of you know, George, what are you, or probably saying to yourself, George, what are you talking about? There's nothing to worry about. Just in the last few weeks, the 10-year treasury yield has gone from, call it 1.7 up to 1.9, an increase of 20 basis points. So how can the yield curve be flattening? Well, the 2-year treasury is going up just as fast, if not faster. So therefore, the spread between the two is actually decreasing. So even though the yield on the 10-year is going up, the yield curve itself is still flattening out. You can see that with this chart. The reason I wanted to point that out is because I think there's a good probability that we continue to see high levels of consumer price inflation, not asset inflation, consumer price inflation. And if we do go into that recession, we could go into a recession that was very consistent with what we saw in the early 1970s, when the stock market went down by 50% in nominal terms, but we still had very substantial consumer price inflation. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up there and just remind you how important it is to pay attention to this chart. If the Fed raises interest rates like they say they're going to, 2-3 times, if Fed funds gets up to, call it 75 basis points or 1%, we've really got to pay attention to what the 2-year treasury is doing and the 10-year. Now, let's go back to Colombia more specifically, so you guys can get an idea of this, of what's going on with food prices here. So it's not just in the United States. One of my editors, Thomas, gave me this, and I guess this was something that was being passed around in the in social media here in Colombia. And this is food price increases from 2021 to 2022. Now, this is 600 pesos. That's not dollars. That's, and Papa, that would be potatoes. So potatoes have gone from 600 pesos, which, that's such a low number. I don't even, that would be maybe, what would that be? Right off the top of my head, maybe 15 cents, something like that. And it's gone to 1,075 pesos. So it's 191% increase in just 1 year. And plantain, yucca, which is kind of like a potato, lulo, not sure what that is, mango, you guys know what that is, cebolla, no clue, tomatoes, res, which is, I think, like a meat, pollo, which is chicken, obviously, and cerdo, I think that's another form of meat. But you can see these prices, it ranges from 191% increase all the way down to the very lowest here on the chart is 18% increase. So this is why I am hearing from all of my employees, whether it's my administrative assistant or Angie and Joaquin working on my real estate project or other people's real estate projects. This is why one of the first things they're saying to me is, George, the prices here have just been absolutely skyrocketing. And it looks like food prices here have gone up even more than the food prices in the United States. And this is very fascinating because, this would lead me to believe that the problem might not just be the supply chains and what's that. So here, I'll try to articulate my thoughts as they're going through my head here in real time. So bear with me if this isn't crystal clear. But in the United States, you would assume that one of the reasons food prices have gone up to such a great degree is because on the demand side of the equation, we had things increase with stimmy checks and other things, but we'll just lump it all together and say stimmies, basically government deficit spending. And on the supply side, we had things go down labor shortages, all the supply chain disruptions as a result of the government creating these economic distortions. But a lot of that was from labor shortages that were a result of the increase in demand, stimmies going up, the stock market being up like 90% since its lows in March of 2020, cryptocurrency going way up, all these things that we talk about on the channel. But what's fascinating is they didn't have that in Colombia. So Colombia, they didn't do stimmy checks. So it was more of a free market type of response to the surveillance. Now, they did lock things down even more draconian than the United States. It was very similar to New York City here. So obviously there are those economic distortions, but how would that really affect the food supply chain? Here's what I think is happening. Here we go. This is what's most likely happening. So all of this food that you see on this chart is pretty much grown within 5 miles of Medellin. If you guys have ever been here, you know that everything, it's not just cocaine that grows really well in Colombia. It's everything. It's all food. So, or all plant life, vegetables, whatever you want to call it. So my guess is because the prices are going up so high in the United States and maybe the UK and other areas where they did have stimmies and they did have all these supply chain disruptions where they did not take a free market approach, that all of the farmers are saying, well, why on earth should I sell to the local market in Medellin when I could sell to an international market and get a higher price? Therefore, if the price of exports goes up, that incentivizes those farmers to export their produce to other countries where they can get a higher profit. Makes sense. So that would mean there's less supply available for the local market in Medellin, means prices go up here. My guess is that's what's happening. So the point there is really, I wanted to give you guys some of that boots on the ground data and intel that I've been hearing in Medellin, Colombia, to first and foremost highlight the fact that this is not, this inflation, consumer price inflation, let me be specific, is not a problem that's isolated to the United States by any stretch of the imagination. And if they really start to get this type of inflation in Europe, which it looks like they are, that is big, big problems for the Western world economy. And we can see that as a result of everything that the US did, and maybe they did in the Western world, as far as this Keynesian approach to the cerveza sickness and all this government deficit spending, is really having a trickle down effect, for lack of a better phrase, to other countries, emerging markets, where they didn't have this Keynesian approach, where they had a much more free market approach, although I didn't, trust me, I don't agree with the approach that they took with the lockdowns. It was very heavy-handed, and it was very draconian, over the top. I do not agree with that. But as far as the economic approach they took to it, far more free market. They just kind of let things be. They let businesses go bust, etc. But what we saw is that as a result of these larger economies taking these measures, it's increasing prices not only in the larger economies, but even in some of these smaller economies. And I would argue probably most small economies, especially if they already had a strong trade relationship with the United States or some of these other countries in the West that we're talking about that took a less than free market approach to the economic issues caused by the government intervention with the cerveza sickness. All right, guys, as always, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market, capitalism, and we'll see you on the next video.